I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Later in the program, working with debt collectors, how to stop the craziness, and our monthly visit with our ethics panel. But first, they say it takes a village to raise a child, but maybe you just need a few mocha moms. We visit with members of this mother support group each week for their common sense and savvy parenting advice. Today, we want to talk about preparing your children to face tough economic times. Job loss, divorce, death of a spouse, a medical crisis, all these can disrupt a family's finances. And with home foreclosures and other bad economic news in the headlines, we thought it was a good time to talk about how to survive a financial crisis without traumatizing the kids. Here to talk about this are the Mocha Moms, Jolene Ivy, Danette Tucker, and Donna Maria Coles Johnson. Welcome, ladies, moms.
Hey, thank Michelle.
You. Thank you. Hi, Michelle.
Now, Donna Maria, you visited with us a while back to talk about how to make the most of coupons. Mm-hmm. And there's a reason you're such an expert. So can you just refresh our memories about that?
Sure, Michelle. 3 years ago, my husband lost a job to a layoff. The result was a 60% drop in our income in one day. And so I quickly had to rein our finances in, which I'd never really done before. We had a 2-year-old and a 1-year-old at the time. So it was quite a devastating loss. But through it, we have learned to be better money managers. So the silver lining is that we have a lot more money savvy to show for our experience.
Oh, that's great. Danny, what about you? Have you ever had a setback that you had to explain to the kids?
Oh, yeah, big setback. My ex-husband, their father, and I separated and subsequently divorced. We were in Maryland, and I had lost my job because I had to have another surgery. And had to go on the system, had to go on welfare. I had to move my kids out of Maryland into D.C. because D.C. had more programs than Maryland had to help single moms. You know, I went from 2 salaries to nothing and went on the system, went down there and signed up for what is called TANF now. It's not called welfare, Temporary Assistance for Needy Families. I used it for 2 years to get back on my feet, took advantage of all the programs that it had, took some classes. They helped me with job searching. The kids were able to do a lot of free things because of it. Youth programs, sporting programs. And, you know, I mean, I didn't feel bad about it, but I had to use the system to get back on my feet, and I did.
Okay, I want to come back to you on that. Jolene, what about you? Have you ever had to retrench?
Well, we knew we were going to have to retrench, and that's what my husband had been partner at a law firm, and he was making, you know, a lot of money for most people and certainly for us. And when he was running for public office and it looked like he was going to win, I said, oh, my God, if this man wins this thing, our salary gets cut in half. Mm-hmm. And it was a serious hit. So since we kind of planned for it, it wasn't as bad. We used to have 2 people cleaning our house. And over the course of the months leading up to him winning, we have, well, now we have 7 people cleaning our house, my 5 kids and me and my husband. You know, that kind of thing. No cable. I mean, we had to cut to the bone because that's how it was.
But do you think it made it easier because it was your choice? Or was there a part of you that was mad?
No, it was easier because it was our choice, definitely. It wasn't like devastating or anything like that. It was certainly nothing like Danny's gone through. What it was, though, was harder for the kids, I guess. They don't really care whether it's your choice or not. They just know they don't have cable. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. How did you explain it to the kids? I want to go around and ask each of you that question. Jolene, I'm going to start with you because we were talking to you. You and Glenn made a decision that he was going to make a change, that he was going to do something he believed in that was important to do, but it had a big impact on them. How did you explain it?
Well, we try to show them all the time that what's important is that you love your job and you do something that you want to do and that you feel makes a difference. And sometimes that means you don't make as much money as you possibly could. And we try to make it so that things aren't the most important thing in our lives.
Danny, what about you? It seems to me that you had a lot of changes. The kids obviously knew some of this was going on, but how did you talk to them about it? And how did you keep them from being devastated?
I hate to coin the phrase, but I kept it real. I had to. It was not the time to make up anything. I mean, they're living in it. I didn't want them to hear it from anybody else. I sat them down, said, this is what's happening. A, B, C, D, and this is what we're going to have to do. But I took an opportunity to teach them a life lesson. Life will do that sometimes. It may throw you a curveball out of nowhere. And you got to be able to just revamp yourself. And the biggest thing we did was not stay bitter. We would not let them get bitter. And I felt that telling them the truth about what was going on kept them from being bitter.
Were they ever angry at you? Because sometimes when there's a parent missing, the parent who's still there is the one that comes in for the drama. Because you're the safe one, right?
Oh, yeah. Very mad at me. Why won't you stick in there with Daddy? They didn't understand that Daddy is not a good influence here right now. So I had to do what was best for them. And at the time, it was not best to stay in that.
How did you master your own emotions? Because you obviously had your own feelings of, you had to, of being vulnerable, of being frightened, of...
Faith and my Verizon's Friends and Family Network. I use my Verizon Family and Friends Network beyond telephone calls. You know what I mean? I mean, they would come over and go, all right, girl, come on, let's do this. And I got the spaghetti tonight. All right, well, I'll go watch a movie with the kids. It was that, you know, the village reached out and came to me. And when I saw them there with me and we're all doing the same thing, it just lifts you to another place and you feel like you can just go on. And that's what we did.
Donna Maria, what about you? Your kids were so little at the mm-hmm. time, but I think having little kids makes you feel very vulnerable. You know what I mean? And so how did you think about what to talk about with them or how to deal with the situation vis-a-vis them? What did you do?
At the time, they were too young. I mean, one was an infant practically, and the other one was just beginning to walk. So I think what we went through was right after the layoff, we had to regroup. And ultimately, 2.5, 3 years later, we sold our house and moved 600 miles away. That was when we had some explaining to do. Because by then, they were old enough to have a couple of friends. They'd been to some birthday parties, and they wanted an explanation as to why they were leaving their grandma and their grandpa and all their friends and the people that they had gotten to know. So we did have to sit down and talk with them. And as my fellow Mocha Mom said, keep it real. You know, this is what Mommy and Daddy have to do so that we can take care of ourselves and plan for our future and plan for your future as well.
When you have to retrench abruptly, as you did, you didn't have time to plan, I assume. You didn't see it coming. What's the first, second, and third thing you did?
Well, we prayed a lot. Secondly, we just cut off a lot of things that we wanted but didn't need. We turned off the cable. We stopped using the utilities as much as we did. We used one vehicle. We bought gas at a cheaper place, and I really spent a lot of time encouraging my husband at that time in addition to regrouping our finances.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm speaking with the Mocha Moms, Jolene Ivey, Danette Tucker, Donna Maria Coles-Johnson, about teaching your kids to deal with tough economic times. Donna Maria, you're also really big on teaching your kids about money, and not just the difference between cash and credit and... My favorite is you sometimes pay their preschool bill in cash.
Yeah.
Why do you emphasize that so much?
Because I want them to see the money leaving our house and going into something that's important. My daughter once actually, not just last year, she told my son, my six-year-old daughter told my son, you know, you really have to do your best in school because mommy pays a lot of money for this. And that's because every now and then I call the school in advance to make sure it's okay to bring cash, but I would bring cash and tell them this, we're going to go into the office today and we're going to pay for your school. So they could understand the connection between getting something of value and the fact that it costs money instead of swiping the credit card or writing a check. So I want them to know it's money coming out of the, you know, pizza budget or the Spider-Man budget in my son's case.
Danny, how do you talk to your kids about money? Because on the one hand, you want them to respect the hard work. On the other hand, you don't want them to be obsessed with money because, you know, you can see where it could go the other way. If kids see their parents struggling so hard, they make it becomes so important that they can't learn the lesson Jolene was talking about, that money isn't everything. It becomes everything. How do you balance that?
I put them to work. The best way for them to know what I'm going through, you go through it. You know, where I make, you know, you're going to babysit, you're going to clean this, you're going to go over to so-and-so's house and do this. And my son's working his second summer job at the summer youth program. I don't want them to be naive to what this world is about if something like this happens. You got to work your way back from it. So come on and work.
Jolene, what about you?
I actually worry about my kids worrying about money. I worry about my oldest kid who's in college now, and he worries about how much this is costing us. And he worries about, does it make sense for him when he finishes college to go on to law school? And I tell him, look, whatever you'd have to take out in loans, in the long run, it's going to be worth it to get whatever education you need. And it's not just for how much money you can make, but the choices, the freedom that you have because you have enough education to do whatever you want to do.
I wanted to ask each of you, because as we all know, kids can be very mean, particularly as they get to a certain age, and then what you wear, what you drive, where you hang out becomes a big deal. I remember when I was, I must have been in junior high school. I remember going to the bus stop every day and having this one girl, I can't remember her name, I must have blocked it out, basically itemize what everybody at the bus stop had on, particularly by label. And if there was not a label, then she'd be like, Like, for some reason, I remember Fred Braun shoes. Well, she got some Fred Braun shoes and some Guess jeans. And just, you know, you would just want to die, you know? You could say, oh, you should be tougher than that, bigger than that. But, you know, at that age, right? So how do you, Danny, I wanted to ask you, especially when you went into the, on the system, as you as you said, and started getting relief, TANF. Was that hard for the kids?
It was at first, but one thing that I learned from family back then is we never really focused on guest jeans and, you know, buying a lot of designers and spend our money on that. So I was thankful to my parents for instilling that in me because that helped us do the kids that way, period. You know, so we can stay trendy without paying $200 for some Michael Jordans. Jordan don't need your money. You know, so my son now, you know, I like that. The kids now coming up with their own styles. They're going into the styles that, like Stephon Marbury, whose shoes are very inexpensive. But, okay, you know, they're getting into that. So I just kind of, you know, promote that with them. Promote the alternative. You know, it's cooler now to do this than to pay all this money and have these things and then act like a fool and not appreciate them, you know?
Joey, what about you?
Well, in our house, we generally think people are crazy if they spend $200 on a pair of tennis shoes. So we don't really have that kind of thing to worry about. My poor kids, I really kind of feel sorry for them because for years, I mean, I so much don't care about clothes that the neighbors would just drop off bags of clothes. And we would just go through the bags and whatever you wanted, we'd use. And whatever you don't want, I'd give it to Goodwill. And I didn't think about it for a long time that that's how we clothed, you know, all the kids and even me sometimes because I just don't care. But when they figured out that their friends' clothes was what they were wearing, then they started to become annoyed. And they said, no more. We will not wear any more clothes like this. So, you know, they don't even care if I go to Goodwill and buy the item. They just want to have the chance to pick it out and it not be something that their kid, you know, friend around the corner dropped off.
Which is funny because now that's a cool thing among adults is to have like a swap meet on the weekends. This is
But you made
adults
it cool.
are doing that.
That's what I mean, making it cool.
Yeah, in fact, Danny, you got a sweater that I'm looking at that I'm kind of wanting to
thank
ask
my mama.
If you.
Thank my mama. I got it in the swap bag.
Donna Maria, what about you? You've give us some of your other tips for teaching kids about money and helping them to kind of work through these issues without being scarred by it.
Well, one of the things I do is I coupon a lot. I have a special little section in my coupon notebook for snacks and treats for my children. And when we go to the grocery store, if they can find a coupon for it, then they can buy it. So when we get up to the cash register, I try to find one that's empty, and I give them the money. They're only 4 and 6, so they, you know, they're not old enough to understand a lot of the things about designer clothing and things of that nature. But I give them the money, and I let them, you know, actually feel the money going through their fingers and, you know, pay for it and see what the receipt says and see how much money they saved using that coupon. That box of whatever it is that they got cost $1.50 less because they used a coupon. And that's really an effective tool to show them because you can see it on the receipt. You can trace it all the way through from the coupon to the receipt.
And you're big on letting the kids see you pay bills. You're saying a lot of times kids will see their parents go to the ATM, take money out, or they'll see their kid, but they don't see their parents paying bills because that's something that the parents want to do when it's quiet. So what do you? How do you do with that, especially because a lot of people pay bills online? You just have them sit with you and say, watch me?
Yes, I let them sit with me and watch. And, you know, with automatic deposits and stuff from jobs and things like that, it is tough. But it has been worth it to take them to the bank and show them the money, even when they get a gift in cash or if we have some money that's come in from wherever we get it from, just to make the point to show them we're not just driving through the ATM machine pulling money out. We got to go into the bank and put money in there first before you can get some out. So the work, as the Mocha sisters say, comes before the reward.
Okay. Danny? Final thought from you, some other tips?
Use your Verizon and family and friends network for other than phone calls, really. I mean, just take that idea and run with it. We share cooking. We share homework help. You don't need a tutor. I can do that. You know, the kids are doing it now. So-and-so got an iPod. We done swapped this day. We use our network for a lot more than just sharing minutes.
But do you ever, but I have to ask, though, have your kids ever been teased? And how do you
Yeah, they have been.
That?
But that's when you go. I always, when they come home, I'm the motivator in the house. And we do the old-fashioned sticks and stones. May break my bones, but words don't hurt me. You know, I'm like, that's just words, y'all. Can't let it stop you. We're going to keep going the way we're going. And you make it look good. Make your character make it look good. And they do. They get teased. They get frustrated, especially Davon. Because he's
a 15-year-old.
And he wants to be cool. But it has made him work harder.
Jolene, final thought from you?
Well, if I can put on my legislator's hat just for a second, there's a couple of bills that we passed in Maryland this year that might have some impact on the rest of the country, if depending on how it's taken up. One is credit card companies. They can't come on campus anymore and just ply their wares without anything that else. They have to also provide education and materials about what happens to credit card debt so that kids don't just get these credit cards, run them up like crazy while they're in college, probably making little to no money, and then they graduate not just with huge student loans, but huge credit card debt. So that's one thing. And another is in Maryland, we have a task force now to study how to improve financial literacy in the state. And they're going to start with high school kids on up and look at how much do kids know, how much do people know, and where do we need to improve. So after we have the information, we'll be able to take better action. Because we did find out in 2006, there were 65% of high school seniors with failing scores with knowing how money works. And that's just like ridiculous. That's an increase over 44% of just a couple of years ago. So things are really gotten bad with young people understanding money. And Donna Maria, you need to come back up here and help us out.
I'd love to.
There's one other thing that Donna Maria, we don't have time to talk about, but I also want to mention that you also emphasize the importance of giving. That when you talk to kids about money, you talk about saving, spending, and investing, but you do also make a point of talking about donating. So I think that's point. And as I mentioned, we will have all of your tips on our website. So our regular Mocha Moms, Jolene Ivey, Danny Tucker, they joined us here in our Washington, D.C. studios. We're also joined by Donna Maria Coles-Johnson, a Mocha Mom expatriate, I guess, in Charlotte, North Carolina. She joined us from WFAE in Charlotte. Thank you all so much for joining us.
Thanks, Michelle.